You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Day of Days. It is Friday. It is the day that you have longed for, and we are here. Hit it, Boomer. Friday! Yeah! Let's get her done. And you heard me call him out, so Boomer's on the board. Hey, bud.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great because it's Friday.
Nice.
Great because it's Friday.
We're looking at football games across the listening area tonight, maybe getting rain, huh?
So a little bit. A few of them are. So watch out if you're going to those games tonight. Enjoy some of the wet weather.
The one There's you were planning on going to is getting dry. Rain.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. I mean, like, full. Like, wow. Like, goodness. So at 3 o'clock today, Emily Jones from the Madison County chapter of Moms for Liberty will be calling in with some information regarding upcoming school board races and different things they're working on. So, yeah, 3 p.m., Emily Jones, Madison County Moms for Liberty. And then we got 3:30 p.m., Dr. David Calderwood, who's actually a physician in the Huntsville area. But Dr. David Calderwood has also been working with an organization that got a lot of notoriety during the COVID pandemic called America's Frontline Doctors. So we're going to talk with Dr. Calderwood from America's Frontline Doctors about his thoughts on where things are right now and lessons learned from COVID. And then at 4 o'clock today, U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling in. She just recently signed on to legislation to ban mask mandates. And we'll talk to her about her thoughts on that and probably about things that are happening in D.C. with the Biden corruption scandals. So, yeah, U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling in at 4 p.m. And then there's a triple dipper on top of all that. So hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, right out the gate, education battlegrounds. You know what's crazy? Is there are places that in my day, growing up, there were places that were safe places, libraries, schools, all of it. Now it's like those have become the battlegrounds for culture. Well, we're going to talk about some education battlegrounds and things that are being said and done. Number one on the triple dipper. Y'all stay tuned for that. Number two, COVID lessons learned. So I don't know about y'all, but in the military, I was trained to do what they call after-action reviews. That's where you look back on what you just did, and you give it some ups and downs, and you objectively go around, and you each put in your input as to what the after-action review should contain, what lessons learned were there. Well, have we learned from the COVID pandemic's overreach? Number two, COVID lessons learned coming up. And then number three, I didn't get to it yesterday, so it's still on tap for today. Trampling our rights, which is going to be a part of my monologue here in a minute. Trampling our rights. Different ways governments around the nation, including federal, are trying to just say, yeah, your civil liberties, they really don't matter. Trampling our rights, number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump into my opening comments, my monologue here. So just a reminder, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all across North Alabama. Southern Immediate Care, that's who I go to, by the way. They're in places like Gadsden and Anniston and five locations around the Birmingham area. They're open 7 days a week, always clean, always professional, always there to take care of you. Check them out. If you need medical attention, Southern Immediate Care can give you a hand, and they are the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue. All right, here we go. So earlier this week, you may recall, the liberal governor of New Mexico, who most of us had never even heard of before, took the extreme step of deciding on her own to issue an executive proclamation of emergency, a healthcare emergency, related to, wait for it, gun violence. Well, that's novel. Can we also declare a healthcare emergency related to sitting around and watching too much TV? Can we declare a healthcare emergency because too many Twinkies have been eaten? Or because the sun is just shining too brightly? Or because too many people are offended by those who don't want to use their imaginary pronouns? where exactly does it stop with the so-called healthcare emergencies? But as many of you already know, this was not really about healthcare, not at all. It's about gun control. It was about making sure that the citizens of her state knew that she was the boss, and that in her own words, none of their civil liberties are, quote, absolute, to include the Second Amendment right to bear arms. But you see, it still matters if someone is acting in self-defense, and it still matters that when leadership abdicates its authority and allows anarchy to reign at the risk of life, limb, and property, that good people will get hurt. Good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns all the time, but they don't want to talk about that. And by the way, members of the media, activists, and liberal politicians, including President Biden, they wanted this anti-gun governor to succeed. I mean, think about it. Did you hear the White House speak out on it? That would be a no. Shame on them all. By now, you may have figured out that I'm a gun guy. I mean, it's hard to come from the background and training that I've had and not be. But it's not just my military training or fondness for things that go bang. I mean, it's also the fact that I'm a firm believer in the originalist, sometimes called strict constructionist, view of the U.S. Constitution, which includes that good old Second Amendment. So I've watched the New Mexico governor with a wary eye. And sure enough, the gun control advocates, they are latching onto it. It's the usual rhetoric. Guns are evil. Assault weapons. Weapons of mass destruction. Well, people went to war with knives and swords and spears and arrows for centuries. Where are the calls to ban those implements of destruction? So let's be clear where I'm going here. Firearms are not scary. It's the people that are scary. Period. If firearms make you uncomfortable, I understand that. If you're averse to the loud noises caused by the report of a round exiting the barrel of any firearm, that is certainly understandable. But in my estimation, aside from noise and a general lack of familiarity, most people are more concerned about the manner in which firearms are used, maintained, or handled. And those, my friend, are issues of purely human fault, not the fault of the firearms themselves. Y'all, I've spent hours and hours on many ranges, both civilian and military, and in both cases, I have never minded the strict observance of basic gun safety procedures, the use of eye and ear protection, the respect of others while they're on the firing line. But I've also, me personally, I have also been the victim of those that have a lesser degree of care and concern. I could show you right now the surgical scars on my left leg that resulted from someone being lax with firearm safety and sweeping a loaded shotgun back off the range just feet away from me. And after surgery and months of rehab, I was back to full strength, and I went back to the range at the next opportunity. Despite getting shot by one of those evil firearms, I was able to separate, y'all, I was able to separate the causation from the instrument. You see, it was not the shotgun that shot me in and of itself. It was the knucklehead who had a laxity of control over his weapon that shot me, and basically who should have known better. So are guns scary? Are they? Are guns really scary? Not in and of themselves. It's, again, people that are scary. But gun control activists, to them, it's all about the weapon itself. They don't give two hoots about the people. They're fixated on the inanimate object that cannot load itself, aim itself, or fire itself. Now, me personally, I'm not a big hunter. I never have been. No real reason. I just didn't grow up in a hunting family. I'm more of a sport shooter myself. I enjoy sunny days on the range firing at known distance and unknown distance targets. I love shooting sporting clays and watching that orange disc evaporate in the air when you lead it just right. I enjoy the opportunity to spend time on a short range practicing magazine changes and dual weapon drills, going from long gun to sidearm and back again. I like the sound of the ding on a metal target. And I'm no expert on every grain or quality of round, not at all. I have friends who are every bit the expert that I'm not. But I am competent, I am law-abiding, and I enjoy shooting sports. And do I own firearms? Yep. Certainly do. All kinds. Some for use and some just for sentimentality, like the old Winchester 30-30 lever action that belonged to my grandfather. I've got breech load, bolt action, magazine fed, and pump. I've got holographic sights, iron sights, and no sights. I've got holstered, unholstered, and slung. Long guns, sidearms, and scatter shots. And what I just described to you is no different than the majority of gun owners in the nation. The vast majority of folks who own a firearm are good, solid, law-abiding dudes and dudettes who have one or more firearms for sport or hunting or just personal defense. And contrary to the rhetoric of the gun-scary crowd, not one of those firearms ever leapt out of someone's care, loaded itself, and committed a violent act. I saw one liberal politician in a congressional hearing lately asking the question, "Why do you need a weapon that holds 30 rounds?" And my answer, "So I can fire 30 rounds without changing magazines." But it's an assault weapon, they say. Really? Why? Because if that terminology is allowed to stick, then by that same token, if someone takes a baseball bat to a fight, do we outlaw all the bats and then reclassify them as assault bats and bar their use in sporting events? It's ridiculous. Look, I could go on and on, but in short, guns are not scary. It's people that are scary. And good people with guns are what often stands between potential victims and bad people with guns. And do not forget, the Second Amendment to the Constitution guarantees that your right to bear arms shall not be infringed. They didn't write it to say, may not be infringed unless. No. They didn't write it to say, but not for magazine-fed weapons. No. They just knowingly, and with forethought, said, shall not be infringed. In my view, the First and Second Amendments, they were the First and Second for a reason. It's those two amendments, establishing our freedoms of speech and assembly and religion and the right to bear arms, those two amendments are what protects us from losing all the other amendments. Guns are not scary. It's people that are scary. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Second Amendment, live free or die, right? But that's the thing. It was written that way intentionally. There was absolute intent in the verbiage that became the Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed. Those words are intentional. When you use a may versus a shall, you express an intent that it will be, not that it could be. Live free or die. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.